If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the divine spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is, we're here to return the world to love. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward. And this time, see yourself, if you will, as a golden flame within the heart of the great central sun. Take a deep breath and see that flame descend in a radiant stream of resplendent glory and light, right down into the top of your crown chakra, which you see as an immense, translucent golden lotus of light. Herein rests your divine knowing, your being, as an untouched, ever one with Source Spirit. Take another deep breath and continue bringing that flame down into your third eye. And here it takes the form of activating true vision as you visualize this intense indigo, which is a deep, deep shade of purple blue. This indigo lotus of true vision, and see it activate. Take another deep breath and bring that golden flame of glory down into your throat chakra. See that as a deep, vivid blue. And this is the site and seat of your true creative expression. So activate and own that pure divine expression. And now, one more deep breath. And ride that golden light, that radiant flame of glory, down into your heart. And see this as an emerald green lotus that opens up. And see the flame in the center of that heart lotus, containing, if you will, the representation of the one you most resonate with, who resides within your heart as the beloved. And Father, Mother God, we ask just now for the clearing for this evening's transmission. We ask that all energies that our listeners and the speaker are carrying this evening, that everything that is not of the highest vibration, any karma, any negativity, any misunderstanding, anything that would now like to go home, we invite all of that energy that no longer serves our highest progression. We invite it and call it forward now to return to love. And let's just see anything that no longer serves us, releasing with our next breath into love. Deep breath. Offer it up into love, and see it fly like so many blackbirds into this beautiful golden pink divine love. And as it touches into that love, see the blackbirds turn into white doves. And we thank all that has been part of our progression, everything that has served all together for our good, as a stepping stone to love, to our returning to sanity, reality, and love. I know that everything that is negative within you only seeks to return to love. It may not know how to do that, because the darkness fears the light of love. That's why you stand as an intercessor and as a mediator, so that all fear can be dissolved in love, all darkness in the light of love, all that is of the hatred and hatred, that it may find complete absolution and dissolution into the love of God. For only the love is real. Only the loving inherits eternity. Only the loving is your reality. And so we consign this evening at the feet of the beloved, and we ask and take the blessings of the beloved upon our heads as we fold our palms and gently bow our heads as we offer this evening. And more importantly, our own life streams, our own missions, our hearts, our minds, our expression, our thoughts, our understanding. May all return to love and clarity and bliss. And may we be that radiating center of bridging and reconciliation, of healing and sanity, wherever we may reside. May we be the blessings of the return to love. We ask this in deepest love. Amen. And so it be. I begin with a reading from A Course in Miracles, the Manual for Teachers. This is the page called The Ego - The Miracle. And these are the words that Jesus transmitted. Illusions will not last. Their death is sure. This alone is certain in their world. It is the ego's world because of this. What is the ego? But a dream of what you really are. A thought you are apart from your Creator, and a wish to be what He created not. It is a thing of madness, not reality at all. A name for namelessness is all it is. A symbol of impossibility. A choice for options that do not exist. We name it, but to help us understand that it is nothing but an ancient thought that we made, that has no lasting value. But what could come of this except a dream, which, like all dreams, can only end in death? What is the ego? Nothingness, but a form that seems like something. In a world of form, the ego cannot be denied, for it alone seems real. Yet could God's Son, you and me, as He created us, abide in a form or in a world of form? Who asks you to define the ego and explain how it arose, but can but be He who thinks it's real and seeks by definition to ensure that its elusive nature is concealed behind the words that seem to make it so? There is no definition for a lie that serves to make it true. Nor can there be a truth that can fail effectively. Excuse me. Nor can there be a truth that lies can seal effectively. The ego's unreality is not denied by words, nor is its meaning clear, because its nature seems to have a form. Who can define the undefinable? And yet there is an answer even here. We cannot make a definition for what the ego is, but we can say what it is not. And this is shown to us with perfect clarity. It is from this that we deduce all that the ego is. Look at its opposite, and you can see the only answer that is meaningful. The ego's opposite in every way, in origin, effect, and consequence, we call a miracle. And here we find all that is not the ego in this world. Here is the ego's opposite, and here alone we look on what the ego was, for here we see all that it seemed to do and cause, and its effects still be one. Where there was darkness, now we see the light. What is the ego? What the darkness was. Where is the ego? Where the darkness was. What is now, and where can it be found? Nothing and nowhere. For now the light has come. Its opposite has gone without a trace. Where evil was, now is holiness. What is the ego? What the evil was. Where is the ego? In an evil dream that but seemed real while you were dreaming it. Where there was crucifixion, stands God's Son. What is the ego? Who needs to ask? Where is the ego? Who has the need to seek for an illusion now that dreams are gone? What is a miracle? A dream as well. But look at all the aspects of this dream, and you will never question anymore. Look at the kindly world you see extend before you as you walk in gentleness. Look at the helpers all along the way you travel, happy in the certainty of heaven and the surety of peace. And look an instant, too, on what you left behind at last and finally passed by. This was the ego, all the cruel hate, the need for vengeance and the cries of pain, the fear of dying and the urge to kill, the brotherless illusion, and the self that seemed alone in all the universe. This terrible mistake about yourself, the miracle corrects, as gently as a loving mother sings her child to rest. Is not a song like this what you would rather hear? Would it not answer all you thought to ask? And even make the question meaningless. Your questions have no answer, being made to still God's voice, which asks of everyone one question only. Are you ready yet to help me save the world? Ask this instead of what the ego is, and you will see a sudden brightness cover up the world the ego made. No miracle is now withheld from anyone. The world is saved from what you thought it was. And what it is wholly uncondemned and wholly pure. The miracle forgives. The ego damns. Neither need be defined except by this. Yet could a definition be more sure or more in line with what salvation is? Problem and answer lie together here, and having met at last, the choice is clear. Who chooses hell when it is recognized? And who would not go on a little while when it is given him to understand the way is short and heaven is his goal? And again, that was a reading from the Manual for Teachers in A Course in Miracles. And I messed up a couple sentences there, but if you read it for yourself, you will catch the depth of that profound message. So as light bearers, we've appeared into this dimension of time, space, and processes of becoming. We've come on a mission, essentially, of peace mediation. We come as bridges of reconciliation. And we've come to stand in the gap between all divisions. We've come to basically heal and save the world. But please, hear this correctly. The real world is perfect and whole and requires neither salvation nor healing. The divine reality of your true self is forever one with God and requires neither salvation nor healing. So what needs salvation and healing? Only our mind. It is the mind that bought into the idea of separation from all good or God. It is that part of the mind that we call the ego mind that fears and separates, judges and attacks, that has projected the warring world we dream we see. You see, it is that mindset, that particular interpretation that projects the world we see depicted on our media when we turn on the news. The Course of Miracles defines our purpose very clearly. I quote, "The healing of God's Son is what this world is for." So, who is God's Son? God has only one uniquely begotten Son, and that is you and me and everyone. We are the Christ of God, or the pure, unconditional love of God. That's every one of us. And that's not a religious, dogmatic statement. It is simply using words that have become dogmatized and in our mind related to religious concepts, which in truth have nothing to do with that at all. And so we need to also forgive God's Son in the form of Jesus and that which has been perpetrated and promoted in His name as His teachings. We have to forgive that so that the truth can then be revealed to us as that which is universal and pertains to every single one of us, for God sees only one when He looks at His Son, and that is you and me and everyone. And what God sees is His own love bestowed unconditionally into time and space. We are that bestowal, that extension of that pure divine love. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's why we are. And that's why we were extended from the very heart of the great central sun as living flames of divine love, imparted as points of salvation and sanity, reconciliation and healing within the illusion of time, space, becoming, and separation. So, the important thing here for each of one of us to really take on board, really understand, the fact is, as long as you and I or a nation or anyone anywhere harbors hatred towards anyone or anything, we will not be happy and we will not experience peace. It's just that simple. The closed heart that has hardened itself against anyone or anything is the prison in which you have been confined. That is your depression. That is your guilt. That is your unhappiness. That is that melancholy refrain that keeps recycling back. periodically in your mental and emotional bodies. That must be surrendered and given to love. We showed you a very simple way to do that. Don't process it. Escort it to love. Take its hand and lead it to love. That is what every unhappy state is yearning and is coming to you to be escorted. You know, you can look at them as your needy children of consciousness, and you need to fulfill that need by ushering them where that need can be fulfilled, which is only in the dissolving into the love of the One Divine Source. So that's your job. You escort in that part that is weeping and wailing without, and that is causing the disruption within your own heart and mind, and the conflict and warring in the world. And that applies to every individual and every nation. You will also impoverish and limit your good by harboring hatred and unforgiveness. Those are the very things that block all that is good and blessed and gracious from reaching you. You form your own ring pass knot in which you imprison yourself by your holding againstness, which I've referred to many times as the cult of ego. So hatred in any form blocks your good and blocks the divine flow in your life. So the first step to setting yourself free is to search your heart and set yourself free by forgiving and releasing everything and everyone that doesn't sit in neutrality within you. When I say neutrality, if it's something that you've had a great deal of againstness, a great negative charge built up within you, you're probably not going to be able to leap into all-embracing love in a nanosecond. But you know when it has been released, because suddenly it's just no longer an issue that is nattering away inside you. Suddenly, it just isn't an issue anymore. And where before you had a negative feeling, you go in there and revisit, and probably you forget to even revisit because it doesn't really come to mind. But if it does, you don't have any more negative charge on it. So you keep releasing it to love, escorting it to love, seeing it dissolve into love until you have that feeling of neutrality. Or sometimes, if you're really connected spiritually and maintain that connection, you'll actually feel a sense of goodwill and loving towards that person. So that can happen too. It's not impossible. But at least work with that until everything in you has a free flow of energy and nothing is snagging you into any form of hatred or grievance. For you to be forgiven and to free yourself requires that you forgive first and free others. Only by that action of extending forgiveness and freedom will you set yourself free. That's the way this thing works here in these lower dimensions. Actually, that's the way the divine plan works in these lower dimensions. So there is no other way at all. You must tolerate and accept differences and find a way to come into a place of acceptance with everything, so that you don't have a set face, a set flint face towards anything. That will bind you to that very thing if you do that. And I know that's the last thing that any one of us wants, is another heaping on our plate of karma. So every individual is here on Earth to return to love. That's the whole agenda here. every individual is already in soul, as soul, before you incarnated, enrolled in the same curriculum in EU, which I like to call this Earth University. And we're here to remember our original innocence and that of everyone else as divine love. The curriculum for salvation, which is this return to love, includes our healing. And it has already been established by the Divine Spirit and set in place for all of us. The only elective open to us, really, is when we choose to actively participate in taking this curriculum. The ways to return our mind within the curriculum of love and returning to love, and thus to sanity, are many. But the overall lesson plan, the overall curriculum, is one. The successful graduation and return of all individual minds to love, that also has been already vouchsafed and secured. In fact, it already was completed long ago. In time, it but seems to yet loom as a future possibility. This is the strange thing that we have to remember, that the mind always is set in the past. I'm talking about the lower mind, not your intuitive mind, but the ego mind is always cast in the stone form that contains the sum total of our strife and struggle and pain and all of the things that import unhappiness into the present. That is what we would term the ego mind. It's the quintessential suffering victim part of the mind. So the key to consider is this. The human ego mind is only recalling the past. It sees nothing as it truly is now, today. For example, when I say cup, all of you immediately have a picture in your mind of what a cup is. And at the same time, you can, and probably at the same instant, recall the feeling of a cup as you bring it up to your lips. But are you actually seeing the cup? Or are you in fact seeing the familiar remembrance in the past of having used the cup? Likewise, when you see a friend come to you, you don't really see them as they are right now. You see them in your mind as how you have cast them in your understanding. You remember their familiar patterns of thought, their familiar speech, their habits, their belief system, but you don't really see who they are here and now. That's why whenever any one of us has a change of consciousness and we haven't seen an old friend for a while, usually they're taken aback. It's like, wow, you've really changed. There's something different about you. They don't quite know what to do with us when we become genuinely renewed in the spirit or have had a tremendous breakthrough. It's quite startling to them. So the ego mind likes to keep everything in those old familiar patterns because it only feels safe when it has defined, judged, categorized, and boxed in anything that would prevent it from experiencing uncertainty. That's the last thing that the ego mind ever wants, is uncertainty and not being able to control and manipulate the outcome. So the ego mind can only perceive illusion. It is the very form that illusion takes. The ego mind is the very form of separation. It is the very form that we refer to when we say the fall. The fall was only one in the illusion of buying into separation. And that illusion took the form of that separation or that fall. That's why it's also called the fallen mind. So the worldview that proceeds from that fallen mind is one of attack or be attacked, and it sees that attack as its only recourse. That's what fear does. It projects boogeymen and wars to fight and things to disagree over and conflict. So all of the divisions we see in the outer world are manifestations of separation and thus identity confusion. It's an interesting thing to realize that all the divisions that we see in the outer world are manifestations of separation and identity confusion. So we have views, nations and cultures and castes and creeds and colors of skin and ideologies. We've used each of these to define and limit our identity and thus keep ourselves separate from one another. The ego perceives its own interests and well-being as being entirely unique and set apart from that of anyone else. This illusion of separate interests is actually what has precipitated this world of competition and ongoing conflict, because the ego actually believes that when another gains or advances or prospers, that somehow it's going to have less. So the ego mentality is always one of lack, limitation. It's never enough. There's got to be more. What's in this for me? I don't want to see them get ahead because they might take my position. They might be better than me. I might lose. These are all the ways that the ego mind thinks and operates in the world. It's very obvious if you look around that this is so. However, there's another real world that remains perfectly untouched by the ego mind. It doesn't even recognize the ego mind, knows nothing about it. It exists completely apart from the world that has become the ego's nightmare that we have mistaken for being the real world. Now, this real world will enter the awareness the minute that we truly desire to see things differently. You know, when you get to that point, as Helen Schuckman did before Jesus started to dictate the course of miracles to her, she was so fed up with how people behaved in the work environment that she found herself in a department of psychology and psychiatry, that she finally said, there's got to be another way. There's got to be. And at that point, in fact, it was her associate, Bill Tedford, that actually said that one day when they were really agonizing over the state of affairs in the department they were working in. Everybody was competing and fighting and quarreling. And that was when Bill said, there's got to be another way. And almost as if on cue, Helen Schuckman found herself saying, yes, there's got to be another way, and I will join you in finding it. And you see, where two or more are in agreement concerning anything, that beloved, that spirit of truth, the divine spirit, forms that point of relationship that takes you out of duality and into the divine trinity of energy, which Jesus referred to when he said, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, I will be present. So they came into an agreement which gave birth to the message that Jesus has given us for these times, which he describes as a celestial speed-up that reinterprets his message in a way that not only appeals to our intellectual minds, but addresses the religious indoctrinated concepts and words in an entirely different way, so that we can come into healing together rather than creating yet more religious conflicts and divisions. This is a teaching in which everyone gets to win. Everyone gets to be the beloved. Everyone gets to sit on the throne of grace. Everyone gets to sup at the wedding feast. And for that reason, it appeals to many of us today. And as you read it, you know without a doubt that it had to have come from Jesus. No one else, no human, actually, could ever have written anything as transcendentally lovely as A Course in Miracles. So, the real world begins to appear in and displace and replace our former ways of thinking and seeing. Every time we turn to the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, or Christ, or the Beloved, and say, give me your vision on this. Give me your insight. Let me see through your eyes. How am I to interpret this, Lord? Please correct my mind. We say that in many ways. But in other words, we began to allow ourselves to be taught to see and to relate to one another in an entirely different way. And we are taught from within by the only teacher of truth, which is the divine spirit within us, or the Holy Spirit. And so that is the spirit that Jesus sent to indwell us after he ascended and returned back into the unified oneness with the Father. He sent that spirit to teach us from within so that we no longer have to follow outer forms. Although if you need an outer form, outer forms will appear and be there for as long as you need them. But all outer forms that are authentic paths of truth will always point you back to yourself. Because only when you have directly imbibed Hi, everyone. Sorry about that. Our lights just suddenly went off and suddenly came back on. So I'm going to be continuing the seminar and also adding an extra 5-10 minutes so I can cover everything that I want to share with you. You're listening to Commander Lady Athena. This is the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And our topic is, we're here to return the world to love. So as I was saying before the lights went off, the only thing that we really have as a reality that we can authentically live from is what we have directly realized and cognized within our own crucible of being. We have to have experienced it directly. We have to have had direct intuitive input into our own consciousness for us to have a reality that is more than just a mental concept. And when you take your teachings only secondhand from the experiences of another, you are bound to have doubts and confusion, and you're going to listen to all the many voices and teachers and perspectives out there and become thoroughly confused, because every single person speaks from a slightly different palette of experience. And this is the way it's meant to be, because each one of us is a uniquely articulated thought and expression of God's love. Every single one of us. So no two ones of us have anything in common except in the highest levels. At the level of the human mind, we're all very, very different in how we see life, our purpose in life, the world in general. You know, you ask 25 people, what is the world to you? And you are surely going to have 25 different answers about what the world is. So that is why the Holy Spirit dwells within you as the Spirit of Truth to teach you from within so that you don't have to outsource for your information. Now, it's fine to have outer teachers and a path. You really need that to sort of confine and direct your inquiry within certain guidelines. That's important. So long as you don't lack gaining your own direct experience along the way. And you can take on faith from self-realized men and women until you become a self-realized man or woman yourself, and then you just see confirmation around you rather than needing that for your affirmation. So that's why within these seminars, I work very diligently to keep you focused back into yourself. You'll notice we don't talk about phenomena. We don't go into world events. We in the Ashtar Command are absolutely apolitical. We have no political bias or stance whatsoever. But we are peace mediators throughout the galaxy. We're peace teachers, peace mediators, peace promoters. And we come from planetary civilizations that have lived in peace sometimes for so many thousands of years. We have no defense mechanisms whatsoever. And I'm speaking about the higher dimensional levels of Venus, from which I have most recently embodied. But also there are other planetary systems also within the greater heavens that haven't known war for eons. In fact, in many civilizations, there are ascended races that have long since transcended the need for form of any kind, and they exist as pure consciousness and pure manifestations of divinity. So there are many worlds, many levels, many dimensions, many teachings out there, and this particular teaching that you're listening to this evening comes directly from an impersonal source that speaks into your personal self in a way that enables you to connect and manifest from a higher level of consciousness. Also, when I lead you in a meditation or an integration at the beginning of the seminar, you will notice that I never bring you back into your body. The reason I do that is because I would like you to begin to realize that you are to stay in those higher states and not come back down. You're to integrate them and homogenize them with your daily expression. So there's no disparity between who you are in your divinity and your physical manifestation out into the world. You begin to bridge that gap. And the one that teaches and bridges the gap for you within you is the principle of mediation that we call the Holy Spirit. That is the intercessor, the bridge, the connector between who you are in eternity and your appearance in time and space. It's the part that always remembers who you are, even when you've forgotten, and understands who you are and holds that steady, even while it understands that you don't remember at all who you really are or why you're really here. That part will not forget. It will hold that remembrance for you. Now, when you get to a place where you need to make a decision in your life, here is where the training begins. Before you launch into full ego mode, you have to stop and ask, what is this for? What am I doing? Who's being served here? You know, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide your speech, guide your expression. And the Holy Spirit will actually enter into every moment that you offer to it. If you say, for example, as I do, before I launch out into any particular day where I'm going to, you know, interact with a lot of people or be in a group event, I'll say, please take charge and command, Holy Spirit, of every atom of this day, every interchange, every word I speak, and everything that occurs in this day. Take charge and command, and bring me into perfect alignment with the highest good that I can possibly manifest this day. In that way, you see, you set the stage for an entirely different quality of life to come forward, which you have to understand, you have to ask for that. Because otherwise, it would be a violation of your free will for even the Holy Spirit to interrupt your ego's momentum when you're in full ego stride. It's not going to force you to return to love. So you're given unlimited time to be in hell in your own self-created prison and limitation and miseries for as long as that's more important to you than the choice for peace. And when peace is more important to you and has greater value than being right and maintaining a position of againstness, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit is more than ready to enter in and show you the new world, the real world, the world actually that's always been there, but that your ego's agenda of againstness has, you know, effectively blocked from your awareness. So I think that's probably brought us up to a greater understanding tonight, because I have a very different way of working with you, I know, and one of the reasons is by virtue of who I am within the Ashtar Command. I represent the command directly, and therefore I have to be extremely careful what I say, that I don't condition or influence your minds in the lower worlds. You are free to choose your own religion, your own culture, your own belief, your own biases, your own path, your own everything. But I will offer a potpourri, if you will, of very positive ways that you can implement this higher return to love within your various dimensions. I will sometimes speak from a very Christian point of view. I will sometimes speak from a very Vedic point of view. Sometimes I'll speak from a very New Age or universal or cosmic point of view. All of that is so that each one of you can find at least some place to tuck in. I of myself am simply love. I have no agenda. I have no bias. I simply am an extension of the voice for God, hopefully, because that is my intention, is to simply convey as clearly and as purely as I possibly can, disregarding my personal inadequacies, that that which is greater from me may speak to you each week and bridge my inadequacies through to reach into your hearts into your souls, into your minds, and lead you to greater freedom through love. I bless every one of you that you may have the deepest and highest good come forward in your life and in your understanding. And I'm very, very grateful that I have been given this platform so that I can speak to you each week. It is a great honor and a great responsibility that I take very, very seriously. So back to our topic of the fact that we are here to return the world to love. And, you know, for many people, this return begins with the ability to shift one's mind into the awareness that essentially we all want the same thing. No matter where we are, who we are, we all essentially want the freedom to love and be loved and to live and to be accepted as who and what we are. None of us want to pretzel ourselves into any kind of a limited regime or mindset or ideology or creed or box. All of us essentially rebel against that because the nature of the soul is freedom and love and authenticity. So everything that confines us and inhibits our being that, of course, at some point we're going to rebel against and overthrow. But the thing of it is that whatever you choose, whatever you exercise out of ego is going to simply recycle back and perpetrate the same problem. It's going to change faces and leaders and governments and so forth, but it'll be the same mess until you heal that part of grievance, hatred, and againstness within the mind. You're going to produce that same effect in the outer world again and again. So we must return our minds, first of all, to the governance and guidance of the spirit of love within us, and then be taught anew how to live in attunement and harmony with that voice for God within us that counsels us in forgiveness, in reconciliation, in being a loving presence on the planet, a planet in which we see as a house of consciousness, as a school of consciousness, and every nation as representing one classroom in this great university of consciousness. And we begin to have a great compassion when we see and understand that all people are simply souls at various stages of returning to love and escaping from the hell that their condemning mind has placed them in. We're, you know, you have to have compassion because we're all at different stages of that process. Every single one of us truly yearns for peace, but we simply don't know how to put an end to conflict. The ego mind has convinced us that the problem doesn't originate in our own mind, but rather is the fault of others in the world. And it is only the ego mind that points the fingers of blame, judgment, condemnation, so that it will take the blame away from itself and enable it to continue its agenda of separation. So let's look at the world in a more sane and enlightened way, shall we? Let's, for example, consider every nation simply as a classroom into which certain groups of souls have been drawn. Each individual has been drawn into their particular nation, culture, ideology, and creed, because that best suits their spiritual education and progression. Can you understand that everybody is where they are because that is the best place for them to learn what they individually have decided as souls they need to learn or work through or balance? And during the journey of the soul, we have been in every continent, every culture, every religion, every race, every color of skin, and ultimately we will have been identified pretty much with every class and caste and stage of expression that is on the planet. We've also been gay, we've been straight, we've been bisexual, we've been sexually confused, we've been trisexual, we've been every possible kind of relationship pattern that has found expression on the planet. We've been the good guys, we've been the bad guys, we've been the, you know, wishy-washy in-between guys. We've been the great leaders, we've been the saints, we've been the ones that were the most fallen and corrupt. We've been it all. The history you read in the history books is our history. We were the souls that participated in every world culture, root race, and expression on planet Earth. Now, who are you going to blame now? Who are you going to point the finger of againstness towards now? No one, right? Because you only point to yourself. But that is a fact. That is an absolute fact. That the things that we see surfacing in the world today, the conflicts and the things that are coming up to the surface, are ancient conflicts that go back thousands of years. The souls involved in these various polarized stances have been doing this for years, changing sides, exchanging positions, but basically in the same polarized states of consciousness, again and again. It's been said that we are the reincarnated Romans, those of us in the Western industrialized world. It's also been said that we are here in America, that we are the returning Atlanteans. I would not limit that to America. I would say that there are many Atlanteans on the planet, wonderful Atlanteans, and the same Atlanteans that aberrated the Merkaba and twisted the codes of light and sound into Frankenscience and destroyed the planet, or at least destroyed Atlantis at that time. So we're the same souls, and we're back to see if we could maybe do it differently this time. And ready or not, we're shifting now into a new version of the Earth, into the fifth world, and much of that shenanigan has to be healed now in order for those souls to graduate and progress onto the fifth globe or the fifth world. As I spoke of last week, the souls that are not able or willing to do that, and it's mainly not willing, they will be allowed to go the way of their own choice, which would be to remain with the third-dimensional Earth or the third-dimensional planet that's coming up to occupy this particular place in the orbit as we spiral to a new position in the cosmos. So everything is spiraling up to the next level. So I wanted to point that out because there are no bad guys. We've all been bad guys, and we're all essentially good guys that have forgotten our goodness and lost sight of the grace of the love that covers us all and dissolves all of our mess and allows us to emerge instead as Messiah. And the Messiah, again, is the anointed one that you truly are when all the mess is dissolved into the love of God. So, what else can I share with you? You know, another thing is that there's no accidents when it comes to where you happen to be positioned at any given moment. Many people run to and fro trying to find a place where they belong or they're supposed to be. Many people email me saying, Lady Athena, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to move to? And I always tell them, you know, you need to follow that love of your heart to where your heart sinks. Live where your heart sinks. Live and be in the place where you resonate joy. And truly, that is a place that once you truly find it, you can resonate it wherever you live. But when you are trying to sort out and define where you would like to perhaps plant yourself more permanently, use the heart song as your guide. And otherwise, if you've already connected with that song of your innermost being, then wherever you are is the place that you're meant to be. Basically and truly, there are no accidents, and you're always where you're meant to be. And when that has served its purpose, circumstances will simply move you to where you're supposed to be next. And you can utterly, totally, completely trust that. So you'll become aware also, if you inquire a little bit deeper, that every nation has a personality and a soul, just as every person does. Every nation has strengths and special qualities to contribute, and weaknesses and karmic issues to overcome and reconcile. Each nation has people at all levels of consciousness. And it is the group of awakened ones within any given nation that are the disciples and initiates that actually manifest the overall soul quality of each nation. So you and I that are here in America are responsible for holding that soul quality that is America, the freedom principle, the I am America race, the position we have as unifier, reconciler, bridge to freedom that we were originally designed and assigned as a mission, as a nation, to uphold, so that the dignity and freedom of every individual could be enhanced and promoted throughout the world. So we are a young nation that is just moving more consciously into the great destiny that we are destined to unfold into the future, and the role that we are to play as we emerge into the next vibrational expression of the Earth. So that's our job. And each one of you in your given nations, look and see what is the finest, the most unifying, the most loving, the most uplifting expression within your nation, and know that that is the soul quality that you are to embody for your given country. So there are those of us who identify with being the light bearers and the bridges of reconciliation for our nation. I know I certainly identify. Well, with me, it's more of a cosmic thing. Although this body was born in America at this time, I truly feel like I live in the cosmos, and that this earth is within my own heart. But I have that as a sense of my own sense of self. And so you can also look at your own consciousness and see where you are positioned. Some of you may not be a planetary consciousness. You may, like myself, identify more with being a cosmic individuality, a person that embraces all things in that unified field. But, you know, we all are where we are for a very specific reason, and we don't all hold the same position, because then there would not be a balance. So wherever you are, whatever position you hold, although we're all equal, there's no mission that's greater, there's no soul that is greater, we're all absolutely the same in the sight of God, but we hold different positions of consciousness, different positions within the grid, different states of awareness. We hold that so that everyone can have a light bearer in place that they can relate to. And those people that relate most to you will find their way to you, and you are to be their way shower and to point their way in their return to love. So that's something that each one of us does, each in our own way. So you can apply the same principle of the light bearers that are the initiates and the disciples to the various groupings of souls who form, say, for example, a religious or political or ideological body. Within any grouping of people, you will find a small group of souls that are the committed way-showers of love in any given context. They are the disciples and initiates who have entered into a higher state of being. So no matter where we live or what labels we've adopted, we're all here to return to love. And the things that occur to us are the things that we really are here to address. Every one of us has certain areas that light up for us, that call our attention, that are issues that we would like to see addressed. And so the role we play is in being the difference that we wish to see. But primarily, here are the directives that I would give to all of our ground crew, which is primarily to avoid polarizing. Don't enter into polarized states of opinion and positioning. And avoid it without compromising your core beliefs and values, of course. You don't compromise those. However, say, for example, you're a committed Christian or a Muslim. You can be that without seeing others as lost or as infidels. Just as there are eternal core values that unite us in all scriptures, the prophets of old also had ego minds that would periodically distort and color the truth that was being intuited and flowing through them at the time. We all grow. We all progress. Where are those prophets today that we followed in ancient times? Where is Isaiah? Where is Jeremiah? I was listening to a prophet today, and I suddenly realized, oh, for heaven's sakes, that's the prophet Jeremiah. He's reincarnated, and he's a great prophet today, too. So isn't that interesting? Nothing is static. And so everything progresses. There's a continuity of revelation that forms the scriptures of each time and the prophets of the day that are bringing forward a fresh truth for now. And they may be some of you listening to this program tonight. So let's not get stuck in what was, but let's stay attuned to what God is doing today and what is the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets of today, which again may be one of you. So also honor and respect every individual's right to live and believe as they choose, but only lend your energy to what the highest and therefore the most loving and unifying expression would be. Do not fight for a cause, but rather be proactive as whatever it is you want to see more of in the world. Know that what you resist persists, and your fighting against anything is the very thing that will cause it to remain in place. And therefore, don't become a stumbling block to yourself or others. We have to give up our position to the Lord and let the Lord lead the way. And again, you simply cannot transcend duality through polarization, but only by forming a trinity and connecting with your brother and sister in one accord and connecting to that which is greater than you both. That is the way to freedom. That is the way, capital W, that Jesus calls us to follow. And again, refrain from even the most subtle critical stances and attitudes for the simple reason that what you condemn, you will karmically attract as your next experience, either now or in the future. So don't hobble yourself with something that you're going to have to atone for or attend to later. We are in the time when groups of souls embodied in the various nations are having the opportunity to reconcile and to heal and move beyond ancient hatreds and unforgiven grievances. These things must surface now to be recognized for what they are, as a call for justice. And remember, the only justifier in the divine sense is forgiveness now. The Holy Spirit describes the holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. So our duty is to pray for the wisdom and clarity of all our world's leaders. We are to pray and send the light for the highest good to all world conflicts, to to all people caught in the crosshairs of global conflict. We are to pray for the peace, the happiness, and the deliverance of all people. We are to pray prophetically the release of the hand of divine deliverance, angelic intervention, divine intervention, and to speak in alignment with the greatest good for all to occur. That's our dharma. That's our duty. So be a peaceful influence wherever you are, and get your news direct from the inner station of your heart. Don't allow the colored and biased opinions of national media to color, influence, and make your decisions for you or form your attitudes. As you embody a peaceful influence and presence wherever you are, you will be then the healer and the reconciler that will begin to heal these areas and restore sanity and balance to all. So be known as one who returns your arena of influence to love. Let's go out chanting, Shalom, Salam, Shanti. Deep breath. Shalom, Salam, Shanti. Blessings of peace to all the people, all the worlds, and upon this earth. May all be touched at this moment with the blessings of peace, a peace that returns hearts and minds to love. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.